Well, this morning, just have one verse I want you to look at. If you have your Bibles, turn to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, the 19th chapter. And it's just a few moments here with you this morning, and then I know I'm sure you folks are going to go be all eating dinner together and all those kinds of things, and I may crash that party. I'm not sure yet. Any place there's a meal, I'm going to try to show up if at all possible. But the 19th chapter, the 14th verse of Matthew, is a verse that Mr. Bean read when he came up here, because it's accounted in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the words say this, and I'm reading this from the New Living Translation, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And then Mark and Luke also add this, "Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it." Now, those are pretty strong words. Jesus is saying this. And it makes a lot more sense, the gravity of what it is that Jesus is talking about, when you understand what first century Jewish culture was all about. Because it was different than our culture. In first century Jewish culture, there was a patriarchal system that was set up. And all that simply meant was, is that the man was the head of everything. Ladies, I'm not suggesting that this is the way we need to go back to. I'm just telling you the way that it was. In that culture, the man's word was basically law. The woman had very few rights in the home and certainly no rights in society. As a matter of fact, we looked at the book of Ruth not too long ago, and we talked about Boaz as her kinsman redeemer, if you remember that phrase. And the whole issue with that is because Ruth's husband had died, Ruth would have had no standing in the community. There's no way that she could have actually really survived, because there would have been nothing available for her as a widow. She needed that man to come and to give her that protection and that covering in that time. Well, children were even under that. And the fact that Jesus would have allowed children to come to him was a complete reversal of the way that things usually worked in that time. Children would have been seen and not heard. Parents, go ahead. Amen. Thank you. Yes, that's all right. That's not a bad thing. Children would never have been seen. They certainly never would have come up to the rabbi, not to the teacher. And Jesus at that time was known as a rabbi, as a great teacher. People were following him all around. They knew the miracles that were taking place. And that is, in fact, how the children were coming to Jesus. Parents were bringing their kids up to him and saying, "Just touch my kid." The disciples said, "Hey, look, come on, get those kids out of here. What are you doing? The kids don't belong up here." And Jesus stopped and said, no, wait a minute. You let these children come. Why? Because unless you are like that child, you can't even come into heaven. You say, "Well, what does that mean? What am I supposed to..." Nicodemus asked this question. Remember the story of Nicodemus with Jesus? The guy that shimmied up the tree? Zacchaeus? Nicodemus. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was up the tree, right? So he's talking to him, but the point is that then Jesus says to this man, "Unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And he asked Jesus, he said, "Jesus, what are you talking about? I can't go back into my mother." He said, no, you're missing the point. He said, "I don't want you to be like a child physically, but I want you to have a childlike faith." And that's what I want to look at this morning. What does it mean to be childlike? Childlike. Not childish. Yes, I know. We all get childish from time to time. But not that way. Childlike is what we want to be. Because there are unique elements to children that you don't see with anyone else. It's completely unique to them. Number one, a child will say anything to anyone at any time, at any volume. How many of you as parents, you know there have been many times when you have looked for a hole to crawl into because your little son or little daughter decided to make a comment on somebody standing about 5 feet away at the top of their lungs? I know, that's never happened to you. My child would never do that. A child will love quickly and freely, almost to a detriment sometimes. That's why we have to keep an eye on our kids. Because at certain ages, children will just, they'll just walk away with anybody. So you have to be careful. But they love quickly. A child is completely resilient and boundless with energy. Boundless. You go, Pastor Dave, you're not telling me anything I don't know. That's okay. I'm going to come back to that. But you know what? They're really resilient. And I know this with my own two sons. When my first son was born, they had the Nook. I think I've told you this before. You know the Nook, the pacifier. When my son would drop that, I would take it. I would spend 45 minutes sterilizing it. And then I would take it and even throw it away and go get him a new one. Because I figured, I'm not putting this back in my kid's mouth. By the time my second kid came, he dropped the Nook. I'd pick it up, blow it off, put it back in his mouth. Nothing happened to that child. He was fine. Nothing ever occurred. Kids fall. They get banged up. They get scraped up. But kids survive. They're resilient. They're not quite as fragile, I think, as sometimes we think. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't use common sense, but kids are tough. And finally, a child has a way of keeping life in perspective, I think. Kids have a way of doing that. You know, they tend to get kind of high, they get a little bit low, but you know what? The next day, it's a new day. It's a brand new day. And Jesus is saying that we as adults need to learn what it is to come back to that place of living like a child, especially with things of the kingdom. Now, he wasn't suggesting that we be immature or whiny or selfish or stubborn. Those are also attributes of children until they learn the way they're supposed to live. But as adults, we should all desire to have the childlike attitude and demeanor that just lives life in the wonder of knowing that God loves me. But we get so sophisticated, don't we, as adults? I'm more mature now. I'm sophisticated. Those things don't affect me that way anymore. And in reality, what we have done is that we have lost so much of what God wants us to have in our lives just by knowing Him. Because here's something I want you to consider. Virtually every negative behavior of a child is learned behavior. It's learned behavior. Kids don't start off hating people. They don't start off with prejudice. They don't start off overtly selfish and childish about their lives. Now, I'm not suggesting, and I've said this to you before, nobody has to teach a child to say mine. They know how to do that all by themselves. Don't have to show them that one. But when it comes to the place of a selfishness that omits other people from our lives, those are things that they learn. Parents, our responsibilities to our children and to our grandchildren is incredibly important. Every time you're with your child, every time you're with a child, model for them what it means to be childlike in the way that you live your life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, there's a couple of other things. And one of the great things about kids, too, is that you can learn a lot of things from kids. Kids have more wisdom than I think we think they do. A couple of things here some kids have said. I think these are very important. Never trust a dog to watch your food. I think that's a lot of wisdom in that. Those of you that are dog owners, you know. It's just okay, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer them. Never, ever answer them. In the same vein, never say to your mother, your diet's not working. Children understand that. Kids know that. Another one, I thought this was good. Never hold or turn on a dustbuster while holding your cat at the same time. That's a child that figured that out. And then the last one was, the kid said, and figured out this one quick. This is going to be an economics major probably someday. If you want a kitten, start off by asking for a horse. And you just work your way down slowly to what you get. Those are very wise things. Those are all by children. Kids are smart. Kids understand what life is about and how things work. But let me ask you this. What childlike behaviors should we as adults strive to have as a part of our lives? What is it? When Jesus says you need to be like these children, what is it that he's talking about? Well, here I think is the first one. The first one's honesty. That is something that as adults we tend to lose very quickly. Children are brutally honest about things that adults avoid completely. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is easy. It's not easy at all. But the scriptures speak a great deal about honesty. It talks about truthfulness. It talks about staying away from deceitfulness. Over 170 times in the Bible, it talks about truth. The Ten Commandments, there are two of the ten that speak about truth. Don't lie, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Proverbs, Isaiah, Zechariah, they all say very clearly, speak the truth. And yet, as adults, what is it that we tend to do? Well, we even begin to lie to ourselves about being honest. Okay, wait a minute, let me think about that again. That made my head hurt. We lie to ourselves about being honest. That's right. That's exactly what we do. Consider this. When you have to tell something to somebody that's difficult or bad, are you free to do that? Can you do that? Or do you spare their feelings? Do you spare their feelings? Sister Mabel, we don't have this in our church, but a lot of churches you go to, they've been there a long time, and they have the same people singing up front that always sing. And Sister Mabel sings the solo every Sunday. She's 107. But when she comes down, what does everybody say to her? Sister Mabel, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Sounded like a cat being drowned, but thank you, Sister Mabel. Why am I doing that? Because I want to be kind. I want to be nice to them. We talk about not wanting to escalate a bad situation. I'm sure husbands and wives, you've probably been in this place. Do I say what I really need to say? I know it's the truth, but it would just pour gasoline on this. It's a tough one. Toughest of all, men. If your wife or your girlfriend ever turns to you and says, does this outfit make my hips look fat? They make sense. You have no other answer. You've got one answer. I don't know how to deal with that one. Don't look at me. I don't know. The answer is no. But the problem is that we get to a place where the little things that we say that aren't true make it so much easier for us to then believe things that are not true that are very important. We begin to believe things about other people, about God's promises, and even about ourselves that are not true. Because it becomes easier the more that we do that. We call them white lies. I've told you this, I may have told you this before, but to me it's just, it's one of my favorite illustrations of this. I think some of you are familiar with Jesse Duplantis, the evangelist, and I've talked about him and enjoy him a lot. He tells the story of early in his ministry when he was in the Louisiana area, and he is a Cajun. He has two volumes, Screaming and Off, if you know him. Yeah. And he tells the story of going to somebody's house for dinner. He said, I don't do this a lot because, he said, if I went to everybody's house that asked me to, I'd weigh 400 pounds. He said, so I don't do that. But, he said, these people asked me to come. And so she said to me, Pastor Jesse, she said, I know you're a Cajun. I'm going to make you my gumbo when you come to my house. We're going to have gumbo. He says, now I know. And any of you that are cooks, you don't make gumbo by just throwing in some chicken and some vegetables. There are spices. There are all of these things that you have to have just right for it to be good. So he goes to the house and he sits down, and it's her husband, who's not a Christian, didn't even come to the meetings, but the two kids that they had did come. So he sits down at the dinner table, and she takes and starts dishing this out and sets it in front of them. And he said, the minute I looked at it, he said, I knew it was trash. He said, I knew this was going to be bad. He said, so she lets it out there, and we say grace, and all the kids are excited about me being there. This is Jesse talking. He said, so I take the spoon and I put it in the gumbo, and I put it in my mouth. And he said, son, he said, it was garbage, terrible, awful. He said, and I'm sitting there thinking about what am I going to do with this? And I look and he said, the husband and the kids are both watching me. They're looking at me. He said, so I swallowed it. And the lady said, so Brother Jesse, what do you think of my gumbo? And he said, in my heart I'm going, Jesus, I know I need to tell her the truth, but I don't want to hurt this woman's feelings. She's going to all this trouble. He said, I'm just going to tell a white lie. He said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Jesse, no lies are white. There's no such thing as a white lie. There's no innocent lies. He said, well, that's easy for you to say. You're up there. I'm sitting down here at the table. I got to deal with this family. He says, so I sit there and they're all looking at me. The husband's looking at me. The kids are looking at me. They got their spoons in the air. And I sit there and I go, well, ma'am, this is awful. He said, this is just terrible. He said, and I looked up, the husband took a spoon, boom, he threw it down on the table. He looked at me, he said, now I know you're a man of God. He said, because I have had preachers come into my house and look in my face and tell me this junk was good. He said, honey, never make this for us again. The kids were saying there, yeah, mama, we love you, but please don't make this again. He said, I looked over, the dog was going, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to eat this stuff anymore. No lies are white. But when we get so comfortable, you say, Pastor Dave, what's your point? The point is, when we get comfortable just glossing over the truth and excusing ourselves because, well, they, you know, kids don't know any better, we lose and miss so many opportunities that God is going to want to use us in a situation to perhaps speak the truth for the very first time. Now, I'm not suggesting that you become somebody that just slaps people around with your honesty. Do I think we need to be kind to each other? Yes, I do. But do you outright lie? No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. But we make it so easy to do that. Childlike means I tell the truth. I'm going to be honest about things. You're never going to forget that story, are you? So never, ever allow those things to take away what it is that God wants to do. Here's the second one. First one, honesty. Second one, love in the pure sense. Children love purely. They don't expect anything from you. There's no caveat. There's no exception. There's nothing that you have to do for them. They just love you because of who you are. Addison, Grayson, love mom and dad. They just love them, just purely. Mark 12, 30 to 31 says this. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I read this earlier. All your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, there are no commands greater than this. Well, my friends, how can we love our neighbors when, number one, we don't love ourselves, and number two, we have a hard time believing that God loves us? Because God's love is not the same as ours. We tend to love those people who are nice, who love us back, who are kind, who think like we do, look like we do, sort of the same. It's easy to love somebody like that. And I told you last week about the pastor of the church that had the man dress as a homeless man and came in to see what people's reactions would be. Children don't care what you look like. They don't care what you do for a living, how much money you have. They don't care what you smell like. They don't care about any of that stuff. They'll tell you if you stink, but they're still going to want to hang out with you. They'll still hang with you. To be childlike means just to love unconditionally. You say, Pastor Dave, what if I get hurt? That's a chance of that happening. There is. But what we can always hold to, the anchor of love, is the fact that God loves me unconditionally. Loves me right where I am. Does not matter what I've done. It doesn't matter what I'm going to do. He loves me without question. That's the type of love. That's what it means to love like a child. Jesus says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And that word knew, in the original language, the word is yada. And what that means is to know by experience. God knows us intimately. Intimately. He knows the struggles that you have. He knows the things that you deal with in your life that you just can't seem to get over top of. He knows those things. And he loves us despite that. He loves us because of that, and especially when we're willing to come to him and say, Father, I need you. Help me, Father. I can't do this by myself. A child knows what it means to ask for help. Knows what it means. The third one is to live life to the fullest. Kids squeeze every single moment out of every single day, don't they? I mean, they're just having a blast and going at it full bore from the second they get up until the minute that you strap them into the bed because you're about to pass out. But they love it. That's all that they do. I mean, just life is such a big thing. We are only given so much time to live. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Each of us have numbered days how many we get. Fortunately, we don't know what that is. That'd be a tough way to live, wouldn't it? We don't know what that number is. God knows what it is. But my question for us is, why do we insist on wasting so much of it concerned over things that just don't matter very much? Spend so much time. A couple weeks ago, I preached Majoring on the Minors, those of you that were here. We talked about what it is to spend so much time and energy on things, you know, that just really doesn't matter all that much. Children get that. A child understands that. Kids do deal with the things that are most important to them. Now, maybe that's watching cartoons or eating as much sugared bomb cereal as they can possibly find. But they know what's important to them. Can I encourage us that when we are dealing with the things every day, that we begin to understand that, you know what, I'm just not going to sweat the small stuff, and most of it's going to be small stuff. Children get that. They understand what that means. And what that really comes down to for us is just very simply, why don't we just not take ourselves quite so seriously? Don't take ourselves so seriously. Learn to love and to live and to understand what it means to be a child of God. It loves us unconditionally. That wants to take care of all of our needs. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, I got issues in my life. I know, we all have issues that we're dealing with. But those things are never greater than God's love for us. He will always provide a way for us to go through those things. I've been watching, many of you may have been doing this too, the Little League World Series thing's been going on up in Williamsport, right up the road. Katarina said, Williamsport? Why are they in Williamsport? Well, that's where Little League started. I was a Little Leaguer. How many Little Leaguers do we have in here? Anybody Little League? Good, we got some Little Leaguers. Had the patch and everything. They've been doing it for a long time. She and I don't agree on Little League baseball. Now, she's got a great point, but we see things too, because I'm watching this, and of course she's saying, all this pressure on these kids. I mean, goodness, they're just babies, and they've got all of this pressure. I understand that, and that's true. But let me ask you this. What's the biggest problem in organized children's sports today? The parents. It's not the kids. Kids will play ball anywhere. Those kids would be thrilled to go out in an alley in a backyard someplace in a place where you got to kick rocks and glass. We had to do that when I was growing up. Just move stuff out of the way so you can play. Kids love to play. And you know what? Kids are okay when they're the last one picked. It's all right. Kids are okay when they lose. And when they know what the score is. So you're going to get me started on this rant, and I don't want to do this. But I am just convinced that kids can learn an awful lot from those types of things. And when we rob them of the opportunity of knowing what it means to win well and to lose well, we are handicapping them, I believe, for what real life is about. There are a lot of schools that are taking away grades. A lot of leagues that are taking away scoring. You just play the game. Nobody keeps score. That has nothing to do with real life. You say, why? Pastor Dave, they're just playing. It's not supposed to be real life. I get that. But how is it that you can have a kid go through and everybody gets a ribbon, everybody gets a trophy for participating? I love that. That's fine. But to somehow make them believe that when they go into life, now we're raising a generation of children that expect to walk into a job and make 60 grand right out of the gate. Why? Because I showed up. We're raising a generation of children that don't understand what it is to have to earn the right to be able to have responsibility, to have things. Parents are the ones that bring these on their kids. Children get that. They understand. Yeah, I'm last picked. I don't care. I get to go out and play. I taught physical education for 8 years, 150 years ago. Taught gym class, Mr. D's gym class. We had a blast because I was nothing but just a 6'3 kid anyway, so I'd get down there on the floor and I'd be wrestling around with them. I used to get all worked up when the kids were picking teams and get down, you got the last two kids. And then I figured out something. Those kids don't care what number they're picked. All they want to do is just participate. All they wanted to do was just be a part of things. And in our culture today, and even in the church, we have come to the place where we are so concerned about what other people think that we're beginning to move away from the things of God. I'm not, again, suggesting that we are not careful about people's feelings. Absolutely. I'm not suggesting that we don't need to be concerned about one another when someone's hurting. We absolutely do. But to be a childlike child of God means that I'm only going to be worried about the things that are truly important. And the things that are most important is I understand that God loves me. The things that are most important, that I can demonstrate that love to the people around me, that I can be a light in a dark place. Those are the things that truly matter. Here's the last one. First one was be honest. The second one, love each other in the purest sense. Then live life to the fullest. And the last one, keep a proper balance and perspective on life. A proper balance and perspective. Too much of anything is not good. You say, Pastor Dave, what about love? Got you on that one. How about too much love? Anybody had somebody love them too much to where you feel like you're buried and smothered? How many of you have seen that commercial, the smothered commercial on TV? With the guy, the woman walking around, she brings the kid his bag in the meeting and all that. It's very cute. But there's a lot of people that live their lives with extremes. Children understand many ways what balance is. As I said, they get real high about things, they get real low, but they go to bed, they get up the next morning, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. How much of that can we incorporate into our lives today? What a difference that would make at your place of work, at your school, in your home, in church. If we would just understand that to live life in a childlike way means that we appreciate what it is that God's given us. I'm not always looking for the next thing. I'm not complaining because that's not exactly the way that I want it to be. I am blessed. I'm blessed with my family. I'm blessed with my husband and wife, with my son, my daughter, my grandchildren. I'm blessed with those things. Because I can tell you this, and parents, you'll back me up on this, your kids, I bet, have a way of balancing out your life for you. There are a lot of times kids will just say something innocently and you think, oh, yeah, I get that. And they don't even have to be little. I was in the Giant the other day. I was in the Giant. I'm walking around and I see a guy there that says Messiah College alumni. I went to Messiah College. And so I walked around and he's, I don't know how old he was. I had a couple little kids with him, but I said, hey, man. I said, when did you graduate? He went, 02. I went, oh, that's great. I said, 1980. Long time ago. So we're laughing. I'm pushing my cart away and I hear him say, yeah, that was the year I was born. So I feebly walked off into the year I was born, why I oughta. I felt put in my place there. Do we trust God in our lives to be who he says he is and to do what he says that he will do? Do we trust him? A child trusts you. Children are very trusting. I can remember standing in the pool. Your little ones are on the edge of the pool. You go, come on. Boom, they leap out at you. My kids started doing that in the living room. I'd be standing there, and they just launch out, and I'm looking, and they're in midair, and they're coming down on me because they figure I'm going to take care of them. Kids are trusting. Can we as adults come back to the place of just being honest in life? Be honest with ourselves. Be honest with the people that matter the most to us. Can we come to the place of recognizing that when we get so worked up about the things that don't matter, we lose so much of what it is that God wants to do. But like a child, just enjoy every day. Enjoy every moment that he's given us. And then begin to see the changes that are going to come in your life because of that. See what it is that God wants to do. Great men of the Bible, they all had childlike faith. You read through Hebrews 11, it's the Faith Hall of Fame. Talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. But you know who had the most childlike faith of anybody? Jesus did. Jesus believed his Father unequivocally. Believed everything that he said that he was and everything that he said that he was. He loved unconditionally. He was honest with people, even those that were closest to him. A couple times he said to his disciples, guys, how long do I have to be here before you get this? He didn't say, now come here. You know, you're close. You're doing pretty good. He said, no, come on. Come with me on this. Get this. Jesus was as childlike with his faith as anybody. And my prayer for us is that when we leave this place at this morning and in the weeks to come, that we'll begin to understand that all that God wants from us is just to love him like a child, to depend on him, to enjoy what it is that he's done for us. My friends, I'm convinced that if we do that, we will see change in our lives. We'll certainly enjoy it more. Things will be a lot clearer to us, and we'll be able to really come to the place of knowing who it is that God's called us to be. Amen. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you have put into us the ability to be a child, to love each other in a way that just demonstrates who you are clearly in our lives. Father, I pray that we would come to the place of honesty, that we would come to the place of recognizing that we need to live life every day to its fullest. And God, can we just maybe not take ourselves quite so seriously? Because Lord, you have created us for a purpose. Each and every one of us here has a great purpose that you have put in us. And I pray that as we leave this place, that we will be the light that you have put into us, that we can shine that to everywhere that we go, so that people will see and know that we're different because of you. Bless each and every person here. May they know that we love them. God, it's been just so great to have everybody be a part of this morning. And Lord, I pray you bring us back safely again this next week. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray these things. And everyone said, amen and amen.